We present Jimmy Clitheroe as the Clitheroe Kid with Peter Sinclair, Patricia Burke, Danny Ross, and Diana Day in...
Weapons of Woe.
Jimmy, have you seen my eyebrow pencil?
Oh, don't bother me, Scraggy Neck. I'm writing a notice for the gang headquarters. To all Black Hand gang members who can read. And Ozzy Higginbottom.
Are you sure you haven't seen it?
Oh, shut up. This is important. As the new head of the gang, Jim makes the following new rules. 1. Charlie Thompson is sacked as treasurer and headman Jim takes over the lolly.
Oh, I'm going to miss my bus into town.
Well, thumb a lift and hitchhike. It's nearly time for the rag and bone man to go past.
That's my eyebrow pencil you're using. Give it to me, you horrible little delinquent.
Rule 3. 6 pence reward to any gang member who'll take my sister to Africa and sell her in a slave market.
Give me that pencil.
Oh, here you are, then. I can't understand daft girls. They spend half the time plucking their eyebrows off and the other half drawing them back on again. Why don't you go the whole hog? Pluck your head.
Stop being cheeky. And listen, when Alfie comes, tell him I'll be out of the hairdresser's by 6, and I'll expect him to wait for me.
Righty-ho, Susanna. Now, what other rule have I got to write? Oh, yes. Next week is catapult week. Get your catapults from Jim. Only 1 shilling each. I'll get Mr. Bramble to make the handles, which leaves one problem. Where does Scraggy Sue keep her elastic? Hello, who's at the back door? Hope it's Alfie. I want a mug to do me a favour.
Hello, Jim, it's me. I put my bike round the back to save my battery when it goes dark because your granddad said he didn't like me leaving it in the front because he made his garden look untidy. And last time I left it in the street without lights after dark, a policeman fell over it. What time is it?
Time they took you away in a van.
You what?
I don't know the time. Anyway, you're just the bloke I want to help me, Alfie.
Yeah, me help you? I'm not doing it. Never again. Where's Susan?
She's out. Listen, this won't get you into trouble. It's only to do with being boss of the Black Hand gang again. You see, it was a contest. The winner was the one who got most new members for the gang, and Ozzy and me were level at 2 each.
I see. You got another new member, and that's how they made you the boss again. But what's all this got to do with...
This new member's got a prize job in the gang. He's the transport officer.
Very interesting, but I still can't see why you're telling me all
this. And I'm giving this new member another title. Deputy leader.
Like George Brown.
Tell me, Eric.
Oh, no. No, I'm not joining any gang.
But you've been accepted. You've got to be sworn in. I've got to instigate you.
Initiate me.
Oh, all right. Stand on one leg and I will. Then you can start your job as transport officer by running me on your bike to a farm outside town. All you've got to do is repeat the few magic words that will make you a member.
And what are these magic words?
Here's my membership fee, 0.5 crown.
Here's my membership fee. Look, is that who we've come to see? That old bloke sat on that tree trunk whittling wood?
Yeah, that's old Mr. Bramble. Our teacher told us he knows everything about nature. He's still waiting for something to baffle him. That's why I've brought you.
Just put your head under my fist and while you're there he can read your bumps.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be rude to my deputy leader. After all, it's catapult week all next week and the finals are on Friday.
Hey, you're not going shooting birds, are you?
Certainly not. A few daft girls, perhaps. No, we shoot at tin cans to find the champion shooter.
Well, that still doesn't explain why we've come here to see old Mr. Gorsebush. Your hedgerow.
Bramble. Our teacher told us he loves making things out of wood, especially for kids, so I'm giving him the order for 10 catapults.
Yeah, for the members of the Black Hand gang?
Yes, Alfie, and as you've brought me, you can have yours at cut price. 9 pence.
Yeah, look, yeah, I'm paying you no 9 pence.
She'll hear you. Although he might not. Our teacher said he was a bit hard of hearing. And he said Mr. Bramble thinks the youth of today are too cheeky and noisy. He thinks they should be polite, like in his young days.
Ah, well, he's in for a big disappointment when he meets you.
Listen, I've been watching that P.G. Wodehouse show on the telly. I'll give old Bramble a touch of the Bertie Woosters.
Yeah. I think I better come with you.
You will remain here, Jeeves, and guard your fiery steed.
You what?
Your motorbike. You don't want anybody pinching it. I won't be a couple of minutes.
Oh, all right, but hurry up. It's nearly 6 o'clock.
Right, Alfie. Excuse me, sir. Yeah. May I please ask you a question?
Yeah, what? Speak up, boy. What did you say?
I was wondering, sir, if I might sit here with you, sir, and enjoy the beauties of nature, sir.
Ah, you sound like a boy after my own heart. Yes, sit down, boy. Do sit down.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, sir. I hope my speaking to you does not annoy you, sir, but I was interested in that piece of wood you are carving.
Yes, I didn't think the youth of today were interested in simple old crafts like wood carving.
Oh, but I am, sir. As I'm often saying to my chums in the pottery class, if only I could carve nice things for them out of wood, especially poor Oswald.
Why do you say poor?
Oh, it's his family, sir. Oswald tries to be a little gentleman, but I ask you, what can you hope to achieve when you have a father who drinks and a mother who plays bingo? Poor Oswald. He's always wanted to own one of those toys. I forget what you call them, a piece of wood shaped like a Y with an elastic fastened to it.
Ah, yes. You mean a catapult.
A catapult, sir?
Catapult.
Oh, yes, catapult.
Yes.
I never use that sort of toy myself. I go in more for educational pastimes. Give me my microscope and a full box of assorted insects and you can barely tear me away from my food.
Yes, well, don't you worry, my boy. I'll have your 10 catapults ready for Sunday night in view of what you've just told me about your stall at the Vicar's Fair. You see, the proceeds are for a good charity.
Oh, yes, mine. One I'm very, very interested in. Well, you've been most helpful and understanding, sir.
Oh, not at all, not at all. It's a real pleasure to meet such a good, kindly, well-behaved lad. By the way, do you know that man?
Man, sir?
Yeah, the one over there by that motorcycle who keeps looking this way. He's coming over.
Now, look here, I've just realised the time. It's well after 6 o'clock and I shouldn't be here hanging about like this.
Who is this man?
He knows who I am. And it's not right me being kept waiting like this. 6:25, Susan will come out.
Susan?
His wife, the bingo lady.
Ah, you mean...
Yes, indeed. Dear Oswald's father.
And it's silly going on like this. It's 3 days since Alfie went off with Jimmy and left you waiting. You know you'll have to forgive him sometime, so what's the point of prolonging it?
He's always letting me down. He needs a blinking good lesson.
Oh, I think he's had one. He's sitting in the living room there like a puppy who's had his... well, who's been smacked. Now go on, bring the tea in and make it up.
Oh, all right. I suppose it's not his fault, really. It's that cheeky puppy, my brother, who never gets smacked enough.
Can I help? Can I carry the tray for you? Save you straining you.
I'll manage the tray. Just pick up the little table out of the fireplace.
I'm sorry, I tripped. I hope I haven't broken anything except my head. I hit it with my head.
Oh, never mind the table. Is your head all right, Alfie?
If it is, he must have had it fixed this morning.
I'm not hurt.
Shut up, you.
Alfie was only answering me, Mum.
You, I mean, as you well know. Here's a cup of tea, Alfie.
Well, thank you, Susan, dear.
Where's mine?
In the teapot. So go in the kitchen and pour it out.
Oh, all right, Mum, there's no need to shout. I'll get me all.
You do that. Just have your tea and keep your mouth shut.
How shall I drink it? Through me nose?
Oh, dear. You've got no chance with him, Susan. He's got an answer for everything.
There's only one answer for him, a good smack.
Yeah, but Susan, I brought you this box of chocolates to make friends.
Thank you, Alfie, but there's no need for that. I don't like you trying to buy my friendship.
Well, hand him over here. He can buy my friendship any time.
All right, Jimmy, just be quiet.
Susan, I'm sorry for keeping you waiting in the rain the other day.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was your silly excuse. Who ever heard of a grown man joining the Black Hand gang?
I couldn't tell you I'd take Jimmy to get some catapult on my leg.
Oh, sorry, Alfie. I tripped over your knee. Alfie was just doing his good deed, taking me to see a poor old man who was lonely. And he said it had made him very happy to talk to such a polite, intelligent boy.
You mean you took somebody else?
Oh, that's very good, Susan.
Yes, very funny. Alfie, we should take Susan to the theatre to see if they'll operate.
Hey, that's a good... Sorry, Susan.
Look, could we just have a few minutes' peace and quiet, please?
I don't think so. Here's me granddad.
Oh, you're back, Father. Cup of tea?
In a minute, Pat, thank you. First of all, there's something I want my grandson to explain to me.
Well, I'll try, Grandad. What's your problem?
You are. Now, somebody at the Old Age Pensioners Club tells me that you're very friendly with a Mr. Bramble.
Bramble. How do you spell it?
Never mind how you spell it. He's been making catapults. And you know what I said would happen if I caught you with a catapult, my lad.
But you didn't catch me. I mean, I haven't got one.
Now, don't lie to me. Bramble told this friend of mine he'd made 10 for you.
Yes, but I haven't got them. Not myself. Have I, Alfie?
No, he's been selling them to the other lad. Oh, my lad.
You've been selling catapults?
Yes, but the old man sold them. I mean, I bought them because he's poor.
Now, I've warned you about lying.
I did buy them. Threepence each he got off me.
And how much did you sell them for?
A bob a time. I mean, you snake.
Little money grabber.
Never mind that. What are these boys' parents going to say if anyone gets hurt? Jimmy's the one who will be blamed.
And you and Grandad for allowing it.
Oh, but they didn't know Susan. Yeah, I'm the only one who allowed him to... Oh, like...
You mean you encouraged this? You irresponsible idiot.
That'll do, Father. I've no doubt that he tricked Alfie, as usual.
Look, nobody's going to get hurt because it's all stopped.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm the boss of the gang, so I've told them there'll be no more catapult shooting. Anybody who uses a catapult will be kicked out of the gang.
And when did you decide this?
After I'd sold out. I mean, after I'd thought about it. I mean, you know, how dangerous it was and that.
Oh, would you answer that, please, Susan? Till we sort this lot out.
Yes, all right, but I hope you sort him out for good.
Now, let's get this straight. You say you've stopped the gang using catapults and Mr. Bramble's not making any more.
That's right.
Is that the truth, Jimmy?
Yeah, honest. See that wet? See that dry? Spit me death if I should lie.
Yeah, I won.
All right, we'll say no more about it since you had the sense to stop it before any damage was done.
Oh, thanks, Mum.
Oh, come in, please. Mother, this is Mr. Bramble. Oh. He's brought something for Jimmy.
Oh, heck.
There you are, young men. And this must be your mother. How do you do? I do hope I'm not intruding.
Well, you are. Come back at Christmas.
Jimmy. Not at all, Mr. Bramble. Sit down, please. This is my father.
Pardon, I'm afraid you have to speak up a little.
This is me granddad, me sister, Alfie All, and you're going, Tara.
Quiet! Now, not another word from you, my lad.
You don't have to speak quite so loud, Mr.
Sinclair. Yes. Sinclair, Jimmy's grandfather.
Oh, how do you do? You must be very proud of young Jimmy. So clever, so polite, and so very keen on his studies.
What?
It's very rare to find such a well-mannered young gentleman today. Jimmy, I saw a kingfisher diving into the river this morning.
Oh, bully for you. You should have dived in after it.
Yes, it was lucky for me. Anyhow, I've just called to let you see the first sample.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Any time will do.
Quiet, Jimmy. You've brought something you've made for Jimmy, Mr. Bramble?
Oh, no. I've made it for Jimmy. If you will, for his friends were running the stall.
What stall?
The stall for the charity fair that Jimmy and his friends are looking after.
Oh, heck.
Go on, please.
I made him a lot of catapults to use on the stall. They're raising money, you know. But apparently the vicar has changed his mind.
The vicar?
Yes, sir. Didn't I tell you? He's in the Black Hand Gang now.
Quiet.
So, as Jimmy requested, I have stopped making catapults.
Oh, there you are, I told you. Well, goodbye, Mr.
And I've started making bows and arrows for him.
What?
Yes, I've got the first one in this parcel here, Jimmy. I thought I'd let you see it before I made the others.
You little twister.
Mum, I can explain. I think if you'll only give me time to... Oh, dear, what a mob. No wonder we're poor. Ugh. I could have made them all a fortune. First our school, then archery competitions with other schools, and then other towns and county championships. Ooh, and I'd have been supplying all the bows and arrows. Mind, I'd have had to get Bramble an apprentice to help him. I wish I'd have lived when everybody fought with bows and arrows. Robin Hood, that'd have been the one. Arrow maker to Robin Hood. I'd have made a fortune. My granddad wouldn't have minded then. I'd have made him work for me. Old Jock, my assistant.
Jimmy, I'm starting the breakfast. Go and call the lodgers.
But, Mum, I'm doing me accounts. I'm an arrow seller, not a knocker-upper.
Look, you told Robin Hood his merry men could lodge here. Go and call them.
Oh, all right. But they should pay extra for being called. Another groat a day. Right, come on, me merry lads. Wakey, wakey. Let's have you all. Friar Tuck, Little John, Alan a Dale, Will Scarlet, and give Uncle Tom Cobbley a shake. Give Uncle Tom Cobbley a shake. That's another grow today for the cabaret.
Did you call them, Jimmy?
Of course I did.
Well, you needn't have bothered. I've just found a message to say they all went out at dawn. There's going to be a big battle today.
Oh, good. I'll be able to flog them some more arrows. Back to the accounts.
Oh, that's all you think about, making money.
I've got to. Times are bad.
They're not bad for you. That chest's full of sovereigns. You've made over £300 this week.
Yes, but what have I made today?
It's only 9:05.
9:15, you mean? That sundial's 10 minutes slow. Hey, up. Look who's coming up the garden. It's Friar Tuck.
What's he doing here?
Well, you know him. He'll have told him to keep the battle going while he has his breakfast.
But they took food with them out of the pantry.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, I didn't get that, Friar.
It's come from Bold Robin Hood.
Pardon, Friar.
Robin's coming to buy some more arrows.
Pardon, Friar.
Pardon, Friar.
That pie is more than I can give him.
Big Tom wants some more pie.
There's some more out in the kitchen. Help yourself.
Oh, thank you kindly.
Sure, that's Ozzy Higginbottom in a nightshirt.
Well, never mind him. You start getting the arrows ready for Robin Hood.
Oh, don't worry. Old Jock Sinclair, my apprentice, I'll be here any minute with the arrows.
Old Jock, your apprentice? He's 65.
I know, he's a slow learner. He'll have been working all night to get him ready.
And that's another thing. 7 years you've had him working nights.
Well, he wants to work nights. I mean, look where he makes the arrows. The cellar of the Blue Boar Tavern after closing time. Every time he cuts an arrow, he taps a barrel.
Well, it's not fair, him having to make all the arrows.
Well, I pay him a fair price and ape me an arrow.
Yes, and then you sell him to Robin Hood for 2 shillings each. Surely you could give old Jock more than a halfpenny. After all, he supplies his own wood.
I think he uses the empty beer barrels. Anyway, he only throws his money away on drink. Look at last Saturday. He spent tuppence in one night. Anyway, never mind old Jock.
Quiet is coming. I'll be in the kitchen.
Hello, Master Jim. I am very tired. I've been at it all night.
I can see that. You've still got the froth on your chin.
I'm talking about the arrows. They're outside. 300 lovely arrows.
Oh, good old Jock. Let me see. 300 arrows at halfpenny each. That's 150 pence, 1 and 11. Here's 2 bob. Keep the change.
Oh, thanks, Master Jim.
Oh, you're welcome.
Robin Hood will be needing those arrows. He had a big battle on last night, shooting, screaming, arrows flying all over the place.
Who was attacking him, the sheriff?
No, Maid Marian's mother. Anyway, Master Jim, that's the last job I'll be doing for you. I'm going to retire.
You can't retire. Where am I going to find another mug, apprentice like you?
That's the trouble. I ought to be out of my time by now. I'm the oldest apprentice in the country, and I'm fed up going home every show Tuesday after you've blacked my face.
All right, Jock. Stay with me, and I'll make you the foreman. And instead of a halfpenny an arrow, I'll give you 6 pence a dozen.
Oh, thanks, Master. But what do I have to do as the foreman?
You deal with all the complaints from the men.
But I'm the only man who works for you.
Well, stop complaining and get on with your job.
All right, Master Jim. Wait till I tell the barmaid about my promotion.
I heard all that. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, taking advantage of a poor old man. 300 halfpennies of 111.
Look, I've got to make money while I can. Robin Hood won't last forever.
What's that?
Another message from Robin Hood. Pull the arrow out of the sideboard and give me the parchment.
Here, what does it say?
Is it safe to come in? Signed, Robin. Every time he comes here, it costs us another window.
Well, you better call him in.
It's all right, Robin. You can come in. The dozy looking outlaw.
Hello, it's me, Robin Rudd.
Yeah, Bobbin Red. Yeah, Ruddy Bob. Bibbin.
Come in, Robin.
Yeah, car. But I am not alone, as you can see.
Oh, yes. Is that something you shot in the forest?
I am Maid Marian, Robin's secret sweetheart.
No wonder he keeps you a secret with a face like that.
You're asking for a clout round the lug with me quarterstaff. Do not forget, I am the dreaded outlaw, Robin Bed, Dobbin Rudd, Ribbin Gobdo.
Robin Hood, you Nottingham nut.
Don't talk like that. Robin is the protector of the poor.
Yeah. I rob the rich and give it to the poor. This makes the poor rich and the rich poor. Then I have to rob the rich who were poor and give it back to the poor who used to be rich. Oh, it does get confusing.
Well, it's your own fault for becoming an outlaw. You were happy at home as the village idiot.
Don't talk like that, you peasant. Just get the arrows ready.
Oh, all right. Keep your wimple on. There's 300 arrows outside, and I've slaved all night to get them ready.
You have?
Well, old Jock helped. Anyway, let's settle up. 300 arrows at 1/2 crown.
Half a crown?
Well, you can't get the wood, you know. Arrows don't grow on trees.
You're overdoing it.
All right, then 1/2 crown each.
300 1/2 crowns. That's 125 pounds.
£37.10.
Hello, we've got a grammar school one here. I'm talking to Dick Turpin, not his horse, Black Bess.
Hey, she's right, it's £37.10.
Oh, yes, but I'm including the ducks.
What ducks?
You want feathers on your arrows, don't you?
All right, look, there's £40.
Hello, the postman's here again.
It's a message for you, Robin.
Let me see. Well, would you believe it?
Oh, never mind that. Open the chest, ma'am, till I put the £40 in.
Oh, hey, I've got a lot of money.
I've been saving this for 7 years.
Oh, well, look, while you've got the chest open...
Yes?
Hands up.
What?
Raise your hands. Maid Marian, wrap all that money up in the tablecloth.
It'll be a pleasure.
But, Robin, why are you doing this to us? After my son Jim has supplied you with arrows for years.
Read this message. I just got from the sheriff. He's been twisting me.
Let me see. Dear Robin, as an old pal of yours... Mum, go and get old Jock. You'll find him in his little hut.
Don't blame Jock. You're the one who's been charging the high prices. Jock made all those arrows for only a halfpenny a time.
That's just it. He hasn't done a stroke of work since he came here.
He spent every night making new arrows.
He's been collecting old ones after the battles. For the last 7 years, I've been selling Robin Hood his own arrows back.
Those involved with the Clitheroe Kid this week were Peter Sinclair as grandfather, Patricia Burke as mother, Danny Ross as Alfie Hall, and Diana Day as Susan, with Brian Truman as the other voices. The recorded programme was written by James Casey and Frank Roscoe, produced by James Casey, and starred Jimmy Clitheroe as the kid himself.
The Clitheroe Kid was presented by the BBC.